Livermore versus AMAX Coal. Mr. Roush?
May it please the court. Maxine Livermore and I have a goal. We wish to convince you that the ALJ in this case committed clear errors and that you should remand this matter with instructions to the administrative law judge to reevaluate the evidence. As a widow in a black lung claim, Maxine Livermore has only you as a last chance to keep her case alive. If she loses here, except for an appeal to the United States Supreme Court, which is unlikely, her case is dead and she will not receive the benefits to which she believes
she is entitled. Well, that's true. 99% of the cases that come through here. So.
Sure. Billy Livermore worked 38 years as an underground coal miner, breathing in coal dust in those little holes, only to die before the Livermores could enjoy the fruits of his labor in retirement. The legal system has a duty to ensure that her case is properly adjudicated. Mrs. Livermore is relying upon you to ensure that the ALJ performed his duty properly. Seventh Circuit law requires Judge Mosser to have issued a decision that is, one, rational, two, supported by the evidence, and three, consistent with the law. Fortunately for Mrs. Livermore's appeal before you, the ALJ's decision is neither rational nor supported by the evidence. Now she has to convince you of this. I would direct your attention to the facts revolving directly around Billy Livermore's death. To receive an award of benefits, Maxine Livermore must prove to the ALJ that the treatment for her, for Mr. Livermore's black lung disease caused his death. The evidence clearly showed that Mr. Livermore had breathing problems. Each physician of record agreed with this. The physicians did not agree on what caused the breathing problems. Nevertheless, each physician who gave an opinion on the topic, whether hired by the coal company or the miner, agreed that the steroids Mr. Livermore received in an attempt to help him breathe caused his stomach to produce excess acid. Billy Livermore's body tried to expel the acid from his stomach. Some of the acid aspirated into his lungs, and specifically into his esophagus. All the doctors agreed that eventually the acid caused esophageal ulcers, which finally burst, and Billy Livermore, at age 64, bled to death. Mr. Livermore's treating physician, Dr. Hauser, a board-certified pulmonologist, stated in his deposition that he prescribed these steroids, which caused the esophageal ulcers, in an attempt to help Mr. Livermore breathe better. That is a long way of saying to you that the treatment for Mr. Livermore's breathing maladies caused his death. Of course, Mrs. Livermore must also prove that black lung disease was a part of her husband's breathing maladies. We're going to get to that. Judge Mosser committed clear error when he did not fully discuss and resolve these facts upon which all the doctors agreed. In his decision on remand, Judge Mosser mentions these facts and then never comes back to them. This is clear error. Again, in his decision on remand, Judge Mosser relied upon the coal company doctor's opinions, which stated that Mr. Livermore's respiratory condition was not compromised by black lung disease. Therefore, the coal company doctor said that black lung disease was not a cause of Mr. Livermore's death because he did not have the disease. It only makes sense. If he didn't have the disease, it couldn't cause his breathing maladies. The problem with that analysis is that Mrs. Livermore proved by both autopsy and medical opinion evidence that her husband suffered from black lung disease. The ALJ committed clear error when he relied upon the coal company doctors, especially because Mrs. Livermore proved that her husband suffered from black lung disease. Now, it was clear error to rely upon the coal company's doctor's opinions when they did not believe Mr. Livermore had the disease. How could they make a proper determination on this issue? Since the evidence established the treatment for Mr. Livermore's respiratory condition caused his death, the ALJ's true question should have been, was black lung disease a component of Mr. Livermore's compromised respiratory condition? It was clear error when the ALJ did not make this determination one way or the other on this topic. Mrs. Livermore submits that only the physicians who believed he had black lung disease could properly determine whether this black lung disease was a component of his respiratory maladies. Their opinions, those physicians' opinions, should have been given increased weight, but they weren't. Judge Mosser committed clear error when he did not make the proper evaluation of this evidence. Also in his decision on reconsideration, Judge Mosser stated, and I quote, "I found that the opinions produced by the employer were more rational on the question of whether the claimant's pneumoconiosis, black lung disease, caused his death." Judge Mosser missed the point and committed another clear error. He should have considered whether the employer's physician's opinions dealt with whether black lung disease contributed to his compromised respiratory condition. This would have led to whether the proven black lung disease contributed to Billy Livermore's death. Judge Mosser also invited this appeal. He admitted he felt that the BRB tied his hands. Mrs. Livermore begged him to determine whether Mr. Livermore's proven black lung disease under the medical opinion evidence caused her husband's death or the treatment thereof caused his death. Judge Mosser committed clear error when he did not consider this evidence or all of the evidence in his decision on remand. If this court is not sure that the administrative law judge considered all of the evidence, then Maxine Livermore requests that this court keep her case alive and remand it to the Office of Administrative Law Judges to ensure that the case is properly adjudicated. Judge Mosser also committed another clear error regarding Dr. Hauser's opinion. Dr. Hauser conceded, and the way he stated his concession was through an equivocality. That's the way the judge came about it. But the equivocality that he cited to denigrate the weight he gave to Dr. Hauser's opinion was already agreed upon by all the other physicians. In other words, all the other physicians of the record agreed with Dr. Hauser's opinion, whether it was equivocal or not. We don't know whether it was or not. It didn't seem like it.
It sounded a little tentative, though, didn't it, Mr. Rush?
But even if it was tentative, everybody else agreed with that opinion. I'd like to
reserve some time?
Yes, surely. Thank you.
Ms. Klaus? You can pull that down. You may lower the podium.
No, that's okay. I'm used to being tall all the time. May it please the court, my name is Laura Klaus. I'm counsel for Amex Coal Company in this case. The issue in this case is whether the administrative law judge's decision is supported by substantial evidence. That's the issue the claimant has identified. That's the issue that this court has identified in reviewing decisions from the agency proceedings below. The complaints that have been raised by Mrs. Livermore really ask for one thing. They ask for the court to review the evidence and to reweigh it in a way that's more favorable to Mrs. Livermore. The court can't do that. The question is whether the administrative law judge's decision is supported by substantial evidence. It is. The administrative law judge found pneumoconiosis by autopsy evidence, finding anthracosis. He also found it by medical opinion evidence, finding that a respiratory or pulmonary impairment arose out of this miner's coal mine employment. What he did not find, and what he could not find, is that this miner's asthma was significantly related to or substantially related to his coal mine employment, and it was the asthma that required the steroid treatment. One doctor disagreed. Dr. Hauser lumped together the treatment for all of the respiratory disease and said because there was treatment with steroids, and steroids were for the respiratory disease, which included asthma and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease and co-workers' pneumoconiosis, that his death was due to pneumoconiosis. No one agreed with him, not any of the other experts, and the administrative law judge found that those other experts were more compelling in this case. He found Dr. Hauser's opinion was a little equivocal because he said that the asthma was due to bad luck. He said that the treatment with steroids probably caused his death. It was possible that he had pneumoconiosis. The ALJ did not find that opinion, standing alone, was sufficient to carry the claimant's burden. If the court looks at the evidence on the other side, the evidence relied upon by the ALJ, it is substantial and it is rendered by doctors with expert qualifications. Dr. Noya, Dr. Kleinerman, Dr. Tudor, Dr. Fino, Dr. Caffrey, all of them said the asthma required that steroid treatment and the asthma was not related to or aggravated by his coal dust exposure. That's the end of the inquiry. This ALJ did exactly what he was supposed to do. He didn't forget anything. He reviewed all the evidence to consider whether pneumoconiosis, either legal or clinical by autopsy, caused this miner's death and found it did not. The board's decision did not tie his hands on the cause of the miner's death, and a simple reading of the ALJ's decision makes that very clear. He didn't discount the experts' opinions because they didn't find pneumoconiosis, because the doctors didn't render their opinions simply because they found no pneumoconiosis. They assumed it existed. They found that he had no respiratory disease that was caused or aggravated by coal dust exposure. On a pure substantial evidence review, and that's what this case is, the ALJ's decision should be affirmed. If the court has no further questions.
Thank you, Ms. Rush.
Thank you. AMAX just stated that the steroids prescribed were prescribed for asthma. And they say that's because all these other doctors said they were, that the steroids were prescribed only for asthma. However, the doctor who actually wrote the prescription for the steroids said, no, not just for asthma. It was for multiple respiratory impairments. It was for all of it, whatever was there. Black lung disease, asthma, bronchitis, whatever it was all there. And that's why he prescribed the steroids. Finally, on the final note, I would implore you to read Judge Mosser's first ALJ decision written on February 12, 1998. In that decision, Judge Mosser basically bought Mrs. Livermore's argument that the treatment for Mr. Livermore's respiratory maladies caused his death. When the BRB sent his decision back, it said, you relied, may I finish this
thought? May.
You made one determination, and that is that anthracosis was part of his breathing maladies. And that was all it really said in that, in the BRB remand decision. Judge Mosser takes that decision, or that remand from the BRB, and he turns 180 degrees around in his determination. He determined that the respiratory malady, the treatment for Mr. Livermore's respiratory malady had nothing to do with his death.
All right, thank you, Mr. Rouse. Thank you, Ms. Faust. The case is taken under advisement.